Second Chronicles, chapter 16, and reading there from verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. We are studying into the depths of the Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, the sanctuary doctrine. And we're up to number 3 now. And what we are about to study, entitled God's Life-Streaming Sanctuary, as we look at this subject, we are looking at the living instrumentality of the heavenly sanctuary. What we have come to appreciate so far is that God's throne is in heaven, in the heavenly sanctuary. He also wants to have his throne in our body sanctuary, and the Hebrew sanctuary was an object lesson of this reality. Secondly, we came to appreciate that God desires to dwell with us in the sanctuary, especially here in this body of ours. We saw that this body, which is a sinful flesh, God wants to dwell in there. I will not abhor you. What a meditation. And what a meditation we've had, that Jesus was the temple that came to dwell among us. The tabernacle, the tent that is placed among our tents, our body tents. And today, we want to examine the heavenly sanctuary by which we may be able to comprehend what we've studied so far, and by which we are going to comprehend all the other subjects we are going to be following up with. And to launch out on this sanctuary study of today, we come to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. And here we are called upon to come. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. A new and living way. This is our study of the sanctuary. A new and living way, which is not the symbolic way of the Hebrew sanctuary, but the Hebrew sanctuary was an object lesson of this new and living way. And he's writing to the Hebrews here, which were the Jews, and he's saying to them, your worship in the earthly sanctuary is being replaced by something much better, a new and living way. But did you notice by the blood of Jesus? Because the worship of the Hebrews was by the blood of lambs and of oxen and so on, and of goats. But this is now a new and living way by the blood of Jesus, and by what? By that which is consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. a veil. If you look at the detail of the sanctuary, God's glory was in the most holy place, and in the holy place, the light from the candle, the light that came over the top of the veil, lit up, of the Shekinah glory, lit up the whole internal. But it was veiled by the covering of the animal skins, and a veil so that the glory of the indwelling presence of God was veiled. And here we are told that that veil, as a new and living way, was the flesh of Jesus. And I want to read here just exactly what inspiration means with these words. I'm reading from Signs of the Times, January 20, 1898. There from paragraph 3, just the first sentence, it said, "In Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead. But the only way in which he could reach men was to veil his glory by a garb of humanity." The veils in the temple symbolized what? The flesh of Jesus. And so the living way is that God came to dwell in the human nature of Jesus Christ, and all the fullness of the Godhead was in him. But if it wasn't veiled by the human flesh, we wouldn't have been able to look upon it. And that's what I'm going to read now from Desire of Ages, page 23. But before we read that, remember John 1:14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You will recall that from last week. Well, let Sister White now really expand on this. We read part of that last week in Desire of Ages, page 23. I'm going to read from paragraph 1 to 3. It said, "Nearly 2,000 years ago, a voice of mysterious import was heard in the heaven from the throne of God. 'Lo, I come, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God.' In these words is announced the fulfillment of the purpose that had been hidden from eternal ages." A purpose hidden from eternal ages. What was the purpose? "Christ was about to visit our world and to become incarnate in the flesh. He says, 'A body hast thou prepared me.' Had he appeared in with the glory that was with the Father before the world was, we could not have endured the light of his presence. That we might behold it and not be destroyed, the manifestation of his glory was shrouded. His divinity was veiled with humanity. The invisible glory in the visible human form. This great purpose had been shadowed forth in types and symbols. The burning bush in which Christ appeared to Moses revealed God. The symbol chosen for the representation of the deity was a lowly shrub that seemingly had no attractions. This enshrined the infinite. The all-merciful God shrouded his glory in a most humble type so that Moses could look upon it and live. So in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God communicated with Israel, revealing to men his will and imparting to them his grace. God's glory was subdued with his majestic and his majestic, sorry, and his majesty veiled, that the weak vision of finite men might behold it. So Christ was to come in the body of our humiliation, in the likeness of men. In the eyes of the world, he possessed no beauty that they should desire him. Yet he was the incarnate God, the light of heaven and earth. His glory was veiled. His greatness and majesty were hidden, that he might draw near to sorrowful, tempted men. God commanded Moses for Israel, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And he abode in that sanctuary in the midst of his people. Through all their weary wandering in the desert, the symbol of his presence was with them. So Christ set up his tabernacle in the midst of our human encampment. He pitched his tent by the side of the tents of men, that he might dwell among us and make us familiar with his divine character and life. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to dwell with us that we might know God is acquainted with our trials, that we can see Jesus, that we can see God. And as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians, he said, "Was not Christ crucified among you?" But the Galatians didn't see him crucified, but yet they could have, because through the presentation of the Word, the image of Jesus in humanity was laid out before them, and they could understand this. So in Jesus, what did I read there? A new and living way, a living temple, a living reality, and I'm really laboring on that for us to pick it up thoroughly. This is a new and living way, not a symbolic representation. In Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. And how is this to be projected to us? And I read it last week. Let's read it again. Ephesians 3:16-19. This new and living way that God is trying to get us to appreciate, to comprehend, to pick up. 16:19 of Ephesians 3. That he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to comprehend all this, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Here it is now, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Letting the Word of God communicate this to us. The Hebrew sanctuary was an object lesson of God being able to dwell in living beings as he does in the living heavenly sanctuary. The Hebrew sanctuary was an inanimate structure, symbolic of the animate structure, the living structure, that new and living way that Jesus, body temple, and the heavenly body, heavenly temple is made up of. So, follow with me now, very carefully, through Scripture, the animate sanctuary of heaven. It's an animate, all the instruments, all the furniture of the Hebrew sanctuary was gold, wood, brass, etc., etc. It was all inanimate. But when we look into the sanctuary that this was a symbolic of, we are looking at living reality. The scripture of the animate, heavenly, and connected with the earth sanctuary in our body temple, in the body temple of Christ. So let's go directly to Revelation and pick up the sanctuary of heaven where Jesus is. And what do we see in these scriptures? Revelation 1, verse 12 and 13. Here John sees Jesus, the living Jesus, in the heavenly sanctuary. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So there in the heavenly sanctuary is one of the living instruments, the golden candlesticks. Now, let's just go to Revelation 4, verse 5 and see the connection there. Revelation 4, verse 5, where we read, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In the heavenly sanctuary, there is the seven golden candlesticks, and as a living entity, the seven spirits of God. Let's go to Zechariah 4 and see the interaction from Scripture to this which John saw and which Zechariah was shown as well. Zechariah chapter 4. And reading there from verse 1 to 3. Zechariah chapter 4, 1 to 3. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what do you see? What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all of gold with the bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bough, and the other upon the left side thereof. So, what did he see? There's the golden candlestick with the seven lamps. And verse 11 through to 14. Then answered I, said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So in the heavenly sanctuary, there are the seven candlesticks, which are the seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit in his completeness. And there, the two angels standing beside the Father beside the throne of God, one on each side, are communicating the oil through the candlesticks. Now look how this connects with earth. Follow closely now. What we read in Revelation chapter 1, we go back and we read verse 20. What living engagement is here articulated? Revelation 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right, and the seven golden candlesticks. Here they are again. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. God's church in seven periods of time. There in the heavenly sanctuary, these candlesticks exist as a living entity which directly communicates with God's people here on earth. Living engagement. You know that those seven golden candlesticks, those seven flames, were the Holy Spirit that was keeping those flames burning. Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See the connection of earth with heaven here? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Remembering what we read in the heavenly sanctuary, that there were these flames, the seven spirits of God, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are you picking up the connection, the living reality? The Holy Spirit in the seven golden candlesticks, which are integrated with the people on earth, the seven churches, as we just read there. So living reality in heaven, living reality here on earth. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches, or God's church, in seven periods of time, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's go once more to Revelation chapter 11 and read verse 2 to 4. Revelation 11, verses 2 to 4. And there is something very interesting here about the candlesticks again. The court, which is without the temple, leave out. Measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto the two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days in clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks and the candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Can you see earth and heaven with the candlesticks all interrelating in living reality? The heavenly instrumentalities are directly interrelating with the earth, with the church. Imbued with the Holy Spirit, the candlesticks are connected with the living church. This is the picture, not in an object lesson, but in reality. But observe further now. Compare the Hebrew sanctuary with the golden candlesticks and the altar of incense and the Ark of the Testimony. We'll be going into more detail on this, but the altar of incense had a crown around it, which is symbolic of a king ruling there. And the Ark of the Testament had a crown around it, which again represented a throne. In fact, those two thrones, the altar of incense and the Ark of the Testimony, are representative of one throne, and we're going to see it right now. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4 again and read there verse 1 to 8. Revelation 4, verse 1 to 8. And here we're looking, John is again looking directly into the throne room of heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come hither, I will show you things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Mark that. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thundering, and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So here we are looking at the candlestick in heaven and a throne in front of it, or behind it rather, and that's before the throne. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes. What's that? Four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now, here, can you see the picture here? This is the throne that he saw, and these creatures, before the throne were these creatures. Now, what he saw is also what Ezekiel saw. Follow with me now. Ezekiel chapter 1. Mark the exact same description. Ezekiel 1. And in Ezekiel 1, we see more detail of the living sanctuary in heaven. There in chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself, and brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. Remember Revelation, what we read. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of the calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So he sees these creatures. Let's come to verse 10. And here is the likeness of their faces. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had a face of a man and the face of a lion and on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Isn't that what John saw? See the same description of the throne room of heaven? And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Remember lightnings and voices and so on. See how this is all coming together? Let's go and read on. As we just read there, and I want to go on to verse 15 through to 28. We're reading the Bible description. We're watching the reality of the heavenly throne room there. It says, and as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with their four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. And they turned not when they went. As for their rings, the wheel's rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And when those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And so it describes that. And now follow closely. These four creatures with the wheels within wheels had their wings up, and look, verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side of their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood, and had let down their wings. And above the firmament was that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above and upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins, even upward, from the appearance of his loins, were down, ever even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. We have just been reading a description of the throne room of heaven. And that throne was inseparably connected with those four creatures and those four wheels. And those four creatures, let's just go over to chapter 10 and read verse 12 there of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 12. Where we read, these creatures, these four creatures, not only the wheels, but the four creatures, and we also read that in Revelation, their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. Eyes, eyes, eyes all over these living beings. And just having read that, let's just go back to verse 2 of, still on chapter 10. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels. Remember the wheels that were with the angels? Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hands with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now, here, did you see that these creatures, in between the creatures, there was coals? What did we see in the earthly sanctuary? The coals on the altar of incense. Can you see this is all coming together here? We continue to read verse 6 and 7. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire, coals of fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims until unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. So, here we see the throne of God. And see what the heaven, the earthly sanctuary depicted? The altar of incense, which had the coals on it, was a throne. And the throne of the Ark of the Testament was also a throne. This was combined in heaven as one throne. The altar of incense, the coals of fire between the angels, as we just read it there. So we are looking at the heavenly sanctuary with its living creatures. Now, they were all covered with eyes. And there we come to our scripture reading. As I said, this is important to understand. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we read about the eyes that were in these upon these creatures' eyes. 2 Chronicles 16, reading verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, and to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Try to picture this now. Heaven, as we've already identified, is connected with earth. The throne room of heaven and the throne room of earth in God's people, in the tabernacles of humanity, they are all together, bound together in interaction with one another. And as we just read there, these eyes are watching everything that's happening here, showing to show himself strong. So God's eyes, these are the eyes that are all over those creatures that are scanning the world. Let's go to Proverbs and read another beautiful quote here. Proverbs 15, verse 3. There is another quote of that nature. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. These eyes are scanning and beholding and doing what? What do your eyes do? Your eyes connect with your brain. And what you see with your eyes is actually simply conveying the image to your brain. These eyes are scanning the world and picking up all the living realities that are happening here on earth. And remember, this is symbolized by the altar of incense and the Ark of the Testimony that is pointing to this in heaven. So link this now with Revelation 8, verse 3 and 4. Revelation 8. Reading there, verse 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Remember what the altar was? That those coals between the angels. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The golden altar which was before this one. But what did we just read? That the golden altar, which was between the angels, so the throne was above that, and so here you can see the interaction of all this as a description of the heavenly altar of incense. And as we keep on reading here, in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So can you see, prayers are the ones that came up through these creatures, through the altar of incense, as smoke before God. Prayers, living reality. What we are looking at here is the heavenly instruments that are communicating with earth via the eyes. And these eyes are picking up. These eyes are part of the wheels within wheels, part of the angels. And between the angels are the coals of fire, and the prayers are being, what is happening here on earth is coming up before the throne through these eyes and coals of fire. There is the description. Let's go to chapter 6 of Revelation. Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, Thou should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed, that this should be fulfilled. So what are you picking up here? The eyes of these creatures are scanning the world. They're picking up the pictures of all of the people on this planet. They are picking them up with heaven. And the people that have died have been picked up and recorded there. And they are crying from among these coals, from under the altar. These angels with their eyes have picked that up, and it's there recorded. And they're crying. Some people read this and say, see, these are in heaven. No, these are people who have been on earth and who have died. And the eyes have picked up, and the prayers of the saints have all been recorded there in the language and in the vision that has been picked up by these eyes. And it comes up before God. And the cry is, how long? Because that's what they were crying. We are suffering here for so long. So, eyes are those that we use to pick up. And what have we got here? What have we got here? We have eyes here. Cameras. That's what eyes are. And those eyes that record and pick up the pictures and the sound of what they are picking up. And here we have a live streaming instrument with eyes picking up what I'm sharing. And it's being live streamed as video and sound to the people who are tuning in. Can you see heaven doing exactly that? Let's go to Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. What do we read here as to what God is saying, that what is happening here on earth? He says, chapter 7, verse 2, that these Ephraim, these Samaritans, they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Are you picking up? These eyes, these creatures are picking up everything of all the wickedness of everybody here on earth. They are picking up pictures, and they are before God's face. It's written again in Isaiah 65, because that is all part of his throne, so it's all there before his face. It's all on his screen. Isaiah 65, verse 5 to 7. Here he says, these people that are described here, God's professed people, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I'm holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. What's that? The coals, the smoke. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Notice what he's saying here. It's there in living reality in front of me. It's part of what I'm seeing. It's a smoke coming up before me. And it's something that's going to be recorded and I'm going to repay. Let's just go to chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse 12. Where it says in verse 12 of Isaiah 59, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. But what was that? Our transgressions are multiplied where? It's all accumulated in front of God in that heavenly living organism. Now we come to one more quote in Deuteronomy chapter 32 to let the Lord really make it clear that among these are all his creatures. He has created that throne, these living creatures that he's carried on upon his throne on. These were all his created beings who have eyes that he created so that these eyes can scan everything and pick up everything in his throne, part of his screen. 32 of Deuteronomy, verse 32. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this, that detail he just described there, is not this laid up in store with me and sealed among my treasures? Is not this all recorded here and sealed here? It's all in front of me among my treasures, my created beings. Powerful description here. It is laid up in store. All your transactions are all laid up in front of me. Remember in the Hebrew sanctuary, the sins of the people were transferred from them by the blood and sprinkled where? In front of the veil, on the altar of incense, and on the Day of Atonement, it was also there sprinkled over the ark. There is the symbolic picture that there in the heavenly sanctuary, all our sins are recorded in living reality. And I want to read it now from directly from the spirit of prophecy so that we get it very clearly. That before God, in that description that we have just read, in that throne room of his, in that part of his throne itself, we read from Bible Commentary, Volume 5, 108.5, paragraph 4. It says, now notice here, a film that is before him. God knows every thought, every purpose, every plan, every motive. He knows it all. How does he know it? The books of heaven record the sins that would have been committed had there been opportunity. You see, our brains, our mind, even our thoughts are electrical activities inside of this device of our human mind, and that is streamed to heaven. That's what Sister White's saying. The books of heaven, Sister White didn't know about films at that time. The books of heaven record the sins that would have been committed had there been opportunity. God knows what's inside of your brain because it's being recorded up there. Everything is open to him. Everything. Wake up to this, brethren and sisters. We need to know this. And so she goes on to describe, God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. By his law, he measures the character of every man. And now notice, as the artist transfers to the canvas the features of the face, so the features of each individual character are transferred to the books of heaven. Haven't I just shared that with you? The eyes that are picking up everything, the videos that are being recorded up there, it's all there. God has got it all in front of him in those books. And they call the computers of the today, they call that books, don't they? Huh? Here it is. And so it goes on. God has a perfect, that's what Sister White had in those days, a photograph. God has a perfect photograph of every man's character. And this photograph, he compares with his law. Part of his throne is his law, isn't it? Yeah? He compares with his law. And he reveals to man the defects that mar his life and calls upon him to repent and turn from sin. This is the cleansing of the sanctuary. We're going to go into more detail on that. But we're just really getting clear here that what is recorded in heaven is a live stream of what is going here on earth. As we've seen it, there is the prayers of the saints are all there. The people who've died during the dark ages, they are crying. They are there in living picture, and here we've seen it. And now I read something even more profound in, because this was written in 1891 in Review and Herald, January 13, 1891. All is recorded in heaven, page after page. The history of our life experience is written. How? With the motives that prompted us to action. Even our thoughts are recorded there. All will appear as a real life picture. Real life picture. And I just shared it with you. It's written in the Bible. These eyes, real life pictures, are being picked up. And just as in symbol in the Hebrew temple, the blood was taken to the horns of the altar. Horns represent what? In symbolism, what do they represent? The rulership, the ruling powers, ruling symbols. So heaven, the heavenly throne, as also our body. There are horns of our altars. It's written in Jeremiah 17:1. Let's read it. And for those of you who have received these messages that we had at Easter, at the time of the Easter break, conference we had there, I showed you in your body there are ruling factors in your nervous system. Your spinal brain, your spinal cord that connects directly with the brain, has got posterior and anterior horns. And there in Jeremiah chapter 17, you see it plainly expressed that God has identified this here in verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. In our body temple, there are horns that rule our mind, and our mind rules through them. There it all is. And now we come to a very beautiful spiritual application here with what we've just read, because, and this is what we're going to spend a lot of time on, especially when it comes to the cleansing of the sanctuary subject. In Testimony Volume 8, this is the most important appreciation that we must pick up here. It says, paragraph 2 of Testimony 8, 312, the infinite value of the sacrifice required for our redemption reveals the fact that sin is a tremendous evil. Through sin, the whole human organism is deranged. The mind is perverted. The imagination corrupted. Sin has degraded the faculties of the soul. Temptations from without find an answering chord within the heart, and the feet turn imperceptibly toward evil. As the sacrifice in our behalf was complete, so our restoration from the defilement of sin is to be complete. The cleansing of the sanctuary, we're going to go into the full detail of that. But in this body temple, as in the heavenly body temple, as in the heavenly temple, there are the recordings of everything in this part, in this device, and in the heavenly, I'm going to call it iCloud, there is everything recorded. It's recorded so that when we go through the time of Jacob's trouble, all our past is going to be played in front of our mind. We need to make sure that we understand what Jesus has done to do the work of cleansing us from sin. Very, very realistic. We're coming through the flesh of Christ, through the veil, into these great revelations. So our body devices are linked with the heavenly devices. And if you want to have it as we see it in our understanding today, this device, every device that you hold in your hand today, can be connected to iCloud. Everything that's on your phone is there. All the messages that came to you, everything can be transferred to iCloud. And what happened when my phone was stolen and I had to get another phone? Everything that was on my phone that was stolen could be retrieved through iCloud onto my new phone. If this is what the technology of earth can do, can you see what heaven is like? These are living creatures now. Your living brain is an intelligent device, which what you think, as we've just been reading, what you think, what you've done, is all recorded in living reality up there. He knows even our thoughts. All needs cleansing. What's that mean? Delete. And here is what I'm just alluding to. This is the true understanding of the Day of Atonement, Daniel 8:14. What was that? In the Day of Atonement in the Hebrew sanctuary, once a year, the sanctuary was cleansed from all the recordings that were symbolically placed on the altar of incense and was then to be cleansed, because the altar of incense was a symbol of all the recordings by the four wheels within wheels and the angels with all their eyes all over them. It's all recorded there, and it's got to be cleansed just like the earthly altar of incense was to be cleansed. The Hebrew sanctuary is an analogy of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ represented by the goat, which then was the whole story, and we're going to cover all this, the whole story of the symbolized there of the scapegoat and all that is involved there, it's all pictured in the living instrumentality of heaven. So, in other words, what am I showing you here? Everything that is real to you here is real in heaven. Animated. Let's read some concluding scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Remember Isaiah, he saw the throne room as well. That's Isaiah 6. Then said I, when he saw God upon his throne, he said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Remember what we read in Ezekiel? The angel took a coal and placed it into the other angels. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. There is a cleansing, you see, in touch with the altar of incense, that living place between the angels, between the wheels. Let's go to Ezekiel. Yeah, we read that. Ezekiel 10, 2, 6 and 7. The angel took the coals from between the angels. So in conclusion, what are we observing here? The physiology of our body, of our human body, is a living device with eyes, cameras. Just the same as the sanctuary living devices have eyes that can see and pick up pictures. The same as the Spirit giving our bodies life, the Spirit, the same Spirit gives life to those heavenly creatures. Let's read there for a moment, just to in conclusion of all this. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. You remember we read it also in Revelation, that there was lightnings and thunderings that were coming from the altar, from among these angels. Ezekiel chapter 10, here it is, very clearly put, verse 16 and 17. Ezekiel 10, 16. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them, and when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. And when they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up, these were lifted up themselves also. For what? For the spirit of the living creature was in them, the spirit of the living creature. Ezekiel 1, 20. Wherefore the spirit, wherever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So there is something in these creatures that is alive inside of them. It's the spirit that gives them life, just like the spirit gives us life. And this is cited in Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord that goes up and down in our belly. Well, Ezekiel chapter 1, 12, what was that? And they, as they went straight forward, the Spirit was to go, they went, and whither they turned to not went, they went. For the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. The Spirit was up and down like lights. What was the spirit of man? The candle of the Lord. And Psalm 18:28 says, Lord, light my candle. So here again, we see a complete network that is active with our life activities. That's what we are looking at here. And you will recall in Testimony Volume 6, page 366, and you've got it in your bulletin there, that what is happening here on earth is happening in heaven. The church in heaven is one with the church of God. Of course it is. We read it, didn't we? The seven candlesticks are the seven churches, the church that is in heaven, the church that is on earth. We are a network of living realities, and we need to stay in tune in the knowledge of this, because we need to understand our participation with the activities of heaven and the activities of heaven with us. But here we have biblical revelation that yes, this is an internet headquarters. The iCloud of earth. You see, I'm just in conclusion here. These instruments, this technology that we have, do you know that through this technology, they are building humanoid robots who are in their brains that are built by man? These humanoid robots are in connection with iCloud. And they can tell you, they can speak to you, they can communicate to you. This is the work that Satan knows. He knows what heaven is like, and he has developed a situation here on earth with technology that he himself has put together. Believe it. This is not just man's making, it's man's listening to the devil. And the devil knows how to put all this together, and it all will collapse one day. But heavenly internet will never collapse. Stay in tune. We will continue to carefully unpack every detail of the sanctuary so that we may know what is meant with the Seventh-day Adventist doctrine of the sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, the earthly sanctuary, the human sanctuary, and the church sanctuary, all beautifully chronicled in God's word. I rejoice to see all this, and I hope it wasn't too heavy for you. As I said, this makes the head swim. When I first discovered all these things, whoa, it nearly knocked me out. It's overwhelming what God has revealed to us in his word. Pray to God that we will be able to pick up on this beautiful truth. Amen.